been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. It is The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast, and we are podcasting on International Podcast Day. Hope you guys are enjoying all that free audio content that's out there on the web. You can listen to us for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, he's probably down in the dumps just like me. We made history last week, but for the wrong reason. Josh, what's going on, man?
It is overcast, man. You got doom and gloom around here. It's the weather's. We got Joaquin coming up here. Not Joaquin Phoenix, but we got Joaquin trying to make its way up here at the coast. It's nuts over here, but I know this is old. I know I've heard it plenty of times this week, and I know I've said it before when some other teams were winless, but Brandon, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Owen.
Owen who?
Owen 3.
Oh, so depressing.
I know. Don't put me on spot with don't put me up there with the bad comedian Eli Manning. He's better at it than I am. What's my push from a mother? Neither do I. I love that, man. That's probably one of my favorite commercials. But oh my God, you gotta laugh from keep on crying, banging stuff, throwing stuff. It got ugly on Sunday, and of course in dramatic Ravens fashion, because you know how they do, man. They don't get blown out. They're right there, and then it just falls apart, man. That was being live. That was fun to watch. I hate to say that, but it was fun to watch because you just knew it was coming. The way the game progressed, it just sucks. Now it tampered because obviously it was a home opener. Everybody's fired up. The rain held off, which was great. Didn't even rain. They were expecting a monsoon and didn't happen. So we were dry the whole time. But I have to say this. For the record, I know how the Denver Broncos fan base felt in 2012 when Jacoby Jones caught that pass. Because you remember how and you watched America's Game, right?
Yeah.
You remember how Ray Lewis said that was the first time you can hear a rat piss on cotton when he said the stadium got so quiet? Yeah. I love that saying, by the way. That's how I felt being a part of Ravens Nation, because when Mosley when Dumervil sacked Dalton and Mosley picked up that fumble and returned it, and I'm getting goosebumps now because it shows the place went off the rocker. And I have to commend any fans out there. I am proud of Ravens Nation. Win or lose or draw, no one really left the game. It was loud, and being that it was only a two-score game, I think if it was like 28-0 or 20, if it was any big score, I think the fans would have left at halftime. But everybody stayed for the second half. It was great. Anybody listening out there who knows anybody was there at the game or you were at the game personally, I want to shake your hand, hug you, high-five you. That's how Ravens Nation stands behind our team. I don't care if we're 0-15. You stay at the game.
Well, like you said earlier, really this game, like, yes, it's a loss, but just like the last 2 weeks, it's been down to the wire. It's been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So like it was, like you said, it wasn't a blowout. There was no reason for people to leave because it looked as if the Ravens were going to win this game.
It did, and off of that, I mean, the Ravens could easily be 3-0 or 2-1 or 1-2. They could be a multitude of those records because they've been every game. Like, the 49ers got blown out by the Cardinals. There's been teams that have been blown out. We have not been blown out. If you look at our losses, they're within, what, four? We lost by, what, 6 points in Denver. We lost by 4 points to the Bengals. It's been within a score. If they just get their wits about them and get out of their own way, basically it's the Ravens versus the Ravens are 0-3 because the Ravens beat themselves.
That's what I've been telling everybody this week, is that the Ravens haven't been beaten by the Bengals or the Raiders or the Broncos. The Ravens have been beaten by the Ravens because they are doing their best to not play good football. They're
playing to lose, basically, is what I look at it as.
Absolutely. They are giving away hundreds of yards in penalties. dumb penalties. I mean, we'll talk about the Kelechi-Osemele penalty that really signed everything away for us, you know, sealed it all up for us on Sunday. But like C.J. Mosley, even though he had a great touchdown and everything, he had a really dumb penalty. You know, he jumped the gun and just gave away some free yards. The Ravens this year are up against the Ravens. They're their own worst enemy.
They are, man, and they can't get out of their own way, whether it's just stupid penalties, whether it's poor play, whether it's bad decision-making. All around, it's you have to look at it under a microscope, and like Steve Smith said, you know, it pisses you off when you lose, and everything's magnified. And back to my original point before things get really out of hand is I want to cover because that stadium went off the rocker. When we got back in the game, the place was jumping. The place went to 121 decibels on the meter, and then when A.J. Green just took off and had that play, it was quiet. And literally, I just looked around and was like, what just happened? It reminded me, we remember when me and you were at the Vikings game? It was just like that. It was like, oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, no. Oh, my God, yes, we got this. And then when the Ravens went down and Steve Smith called touchdown, it went even louder. And it was ruckus. Like, and then I knew then I thought we were going to win the game. But you're right, whether it's offense. But here's my point, man. Make it very short and sweet. And I'm just going to put this in perspective. The Ravens didn't score any offensive touchdowns or any offensive points, and the Broncos didn't, for that matter, in Week 1. They almost won the game. They are in position to win in Week 1. They are in position to win in Week 2. They drove both times, could have had the game-winning scores. They basically took the lead in the final 2 minutes of the game at home, and basically defense lost it, and the offense had a daunting task of trying to come back and trying to win the game, which would have been in an incredible fashion with what they were given. Didn't happen. But they've been in every game this year, so I have to commend the effort. But when your defense is given too many penalties, the offense has some timely penalties when the corners can't cover and they forget how to cover, and when your only playmaker is Steve Smith, it all adds up to, you know, 0 wins and 3 losses, man. This team needs a playmaker on offense, and what the heck is up with Breshad Perriman, man? This guy has not worked out, and it's killing us.
Breshad Perriman, you know, this is what I've kind of looked at, and this last game has really helped seal the deal of, like, I think I'm correct on this. But Breshad Perriman was supposed to be the replacement for Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith did a great job at stretching the field. You know, he was able to go for those long balls, and Joe was able to just throw them down the field, and you could count on Torrey Smith to catch them, and you'd get, you know, 30 yards out of that throw. Now, look at this year. You can't count on any of the wide receivers except for Steve Smith to do anything, and usually they're for short gains. And the running backs have just disappeared. There is no run game here. Forsett has not been able to get anything going. Taliaferro, who was hurt for a little bit and was held out a couple games ago, he comes back, and they don't play him this last game.
No, he didn't play him.
Obviously, something's going on with Harbaugh and with Tressman. Maybe they don't trust this guy. Maybe they like what they have from Buck Allen. But Taliaferro came in for like one or two plays this past game. So obviously, something's amiss there.
Well, speaking of trust, I don't know if you saw this during TV, but the final drive when they were trying to drive late in the fourth quarter, got the ball back, and when everybody was streaking down the field, and he checked it down to Steve Smith to get the first down. Did you see Marlon Brown streaking up the left side of the field? And it brought me to my attention that I don't know if Flacco didn't see him, or if he did, he decided not to go there, because if you remember, Marlon Brown came inside on a crossing route in between two defenders. The ball hit him square in the hands. It would have been an 11-yard gain probably if he'd have caught it, first down play, and he just flat out dropped it. So maybe Joe's lost confidence in his guys, and he even said in the post game, it's on me, I got to get these guys the ball more. But when you don't trust these guys to catch, I mean, Steve Smith, poor guy, he's having a beast of a final season, and he can't do it all on his own, and it's just a shame because Flacco's in a prime of his career, and the best we can give him is Steve Smith in his last year in retirement. I think Flacco deserves better in his last year. I mean, he had Anquan Boldin, we got a title. Steve Smith was a burner, but no one's stretching the field. You're right, Breshad was brought in to be that replacement, hasn't worked out. Suggs is missing off the line. There's some big losses here and some big question marks. And the defense, I'm still baffled. I would love to ask the organization and the secondary coaches or whatnot, Brandon, what the heck happened in Denver where, okay, you keep Demaryius Thomas, who's a top flight receiver in the NFL, You got Emmanuel Sanders, who's a great threat. You have Peyton Manning. You got C.J. Anderson. You hold these guys to no touchdowns, but you can't cover Michael Crabtree, a rookie, and Amari Cooper, and you let A.J. Green school you all day long and basically had a field day like Steve Smith did last year against Panthers. Like, really? What happened since week one for you got how to forget the cover? I don't understand it.
Well, last year we knew the secondary was in, mm-hmm. was bad news. You know, people were going out like crazy with injuries. I forget how many people were brought in to replace players. This year it was supposed to be like a rebuilding year in the secondary. You bring in guys, you know, what was his name? Kendrick Lewis from Houston. You bring him in. He has pretty much done nothing on this team. It has been... I mean, it's as if he was a practice squad guy. Absolutely did nothing. Lardarius Webb has pretty much disappeared. Rashawn Melvin, he had a pass interference call on him early on in the game up against Cincinnati, and it literally he was hugging the guy. I mean, he was full on hugging this dude, and of course he gets flagged for it, and then comes up and goes like, "What are you talking about? I didn't do anything. What's the matter here?"
Dude, yeah, that's getting my nerves.
Dude, own it. You were hugging the guy. You were grabbing onto him. That is on you. That is your fault. Just get up, move on. Don't make those mistakes. But come on, just act like a man and do what you're supposed to be doing. And don't play this crap like, oh, I didn't realize. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's my fault. Yeah, it is your fault. Own up to it and, you know, move on. Will Hill, a really great talent. I've been impressed with what he can do. He's not consistent in any way. And here's the other thing. Will Hill got a sack this last year or this last game. What is he doing that close to the quarterback? Isn't he supposed to be further down the field, you know, making sure he's covering somebody?
Well, not necessarily, because if you're doing blitzes, they do have safety and corner blitzes where they're still dropping the linebackers back in coverage. And I mean, there are schemes where, I mean, Ed Reed's gotten sacks where he's up. I mean, how many times have Polamalu sacked Flacco or disrupt the backfield? I mean, you've seen that. Even Polamalu is a safety for the Steelers, so it happens.
All right, maybe I'll let that one slide, but still.
Aha, gotcha.
Yeah.
Not to say you're wrong. I mean, you're right. Like, it's the same thing with, you know, if you have your secondary leading in tackles, that means that's bad because the receivers, they're getting in the second and third levels of the defense. But here's the thing, and which is really, really, really glaring, is we're bad on pass, and that's the only thing that basically offenses can do against us, because Ravens are 25 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher, and they face Le'Veon Bell this week, who's a top threat. And again, they no one can run on us, so you know they're passing, and they're just landing us up for 300, 400, 500. I'm really happy we're not playing Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady right now, because those guys would probably have an NFL record in one game. Like, you think Peyton Manning threw 7 touchdowns in one game against this? I think Brady or Rodgers right now might throw 10 in one game against the secondary. It's just it's horrible. And Steve Smith did recover. He had a surprising bad game because of giving his top flight talent, but the interception was textbook. You know, you follow the receiver, you stay on him, you play the ball, you have position, you jumped, and you got it. But when the one where he let basically A.J. Green run right by him, he's getting his hips turned. He's not covering the way he's supposed to be, and none of these guys are. I mean, Kendrick Lewis is way out of place on the second touchdown. He's in no man's land in the middle. These guys aren't covering. And the reason why we're getting a lot of defensive holding penalties and defensive pass interference, because these guys are playing so bad that they're playing behind to where the only thing they can do is grab him because, oh, he's going to drive by me, so I got to grab his jersey. I'd rather you let him score a touchdown every time and not grab the jersey. And you're right, the Cleitio Smelly penalty on 4th-and-3 when we converted, yeah, it might not have won us the game, but it put us in position to win and get another set of downs and out of bounds, stop the clock. You can't do that. When has it ever been okay to grab somebody's face mask? I know sometimes it happens inadvertently when you're blocking and you get up there and you're in the heat of the trenches. Again, I'm not an NFL lineman, or I don't know how it's supposed to be, but I know when you're in heat of battle, things happen. You know, you're getting down there, you're willing your team to try to drive down the field, and maybe a hand slips and you just grab on the face mask out of, you know, sheer adrenaline. Who knows? But it's never been okay to grab somebody's face mask. It's never okay to hold a receiver flying by you. It's just bad play, man. It's resulting to an 0-3, and you have to think, you know, what is the record going to be this year? And everybody's trying to push the blame on coaching. Maybe it is coaching. I don't know if it stops at the top with Harbaugh. I don't know if it's just coordinator coaching. But I'm surprised Dean Pease is still on this staff the way he or the secondary coach. I'm surprised somebody hasn't been let go or personnel's been switched. And remember how high we were with Kendrick Lewis coming out of training camp and Kyle Arrington coming from New England? It's just not working out right now, man.
It's not working out at all. And honestly, I don't know. You know, but before I go into all of that, I do want to say Kelechi Osemele, I can understand having a bad game. You know, everybody has bad days at work. But, like, dude, you're in a contract year. Like, for your own sake, you got to be playing 110% because you want a big payday. You're coming out of your rookie contract.
You don't look like he's getting it.
No, it doesn't look like he's going to get a good payday. He missed how many games last year due to sleeping on a too comfy of a bed, you know, so he was having back problems or whatever. So, like, dude, like, really, you need to be playing your best. You need to prove that you get this bigger contract. You just don't look like you want it. But anyway,
no.
Yeah, back to the coaching stuff. I did want to ask you this. Do you feel as if Harbaugh is losing this team? Because obviously there is a problem on all fronts here. It doesn't matter if it's offense, defense, secondary, running. There is a problem everywhere. Has Harbaugh lost the respect of his team? Has he has some of that you know, Harbaugh ego that we've heard so much about but not really seen, has that finally caught up with him? Do you think that the problem is all the way up top?
It's really hard to pinpoint, man, because I've always been a Harbaugh fan. I've loved him since day one. I love his speeches. I love his motivation, his work ethic he instills with his team. I still foresee him being as the coach. I mean, he's extended here through, I think, 2018. I don't think it's a Harbaugh problem. It's a coaching problem, whether it's personnel with him communicating. But remember how we were talking how in the game against Oakland when they called and he had that sharp look to Trestman? Like, I don't know if it's coordinator problems and versus the coaching issues. I don't know. I don't think it's a Harbaugh problem. Has Harbaugh lost the team? I don't think so. I think if we lose, if we're 0-8, it might be a Harbaugh issue. But I think what it comes down to, it's the personnel issues because – again, we're not getting blown out, and you don't see the – and what's really funny to me, it's – I said this in the first half. There's no effort out there. The guys didn't look like they wanted to play, but all of a sudden it was like the defense strip sack, fumble return, and then the offense suddenly had fire under them, and they were making plays. They were going down the field and playing, and they looked like they wanted to play. I mean, Steve Smith was firing up the guys. You had the defense going, but I don't think it's a horrible issue as of yet. I'm going to give him the benefit of doubt. He's been a great coach for us. I'm not going there just yet. I'm going to give this team a little bit, about another month or so, to see what they can pull together before we even go that far. So right now, again, they've been in every game. It's unfortunate that the games have gone the way they have. I mean, they make a couple more stops on deep. It's all about basically play. It's technique. The defense plays a couple more stops and stops the offense, gets them off the field. We could win in Denver. The offense scores a touchdown or whatever, we win in Denver. I mean, if they don't let the Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders offense go 80 yards the remainder of the game, they stop them there. Again, you know, Harbaugh can't play for them. So it's not like where we're getting blown out and he's totally mismanaging the clock and making bad calls. It's more or less, again, he's had some smart decisions. I mean, he had the great option to end the third to run the free play. There's still good options there. I'm not going there right just yet.
I am a little bit worried, I'm not going to lie, because I feel as if Harbaugh is the type of guy and the type of coach that can really inspire a team. You know, he's always got those mottos and those sayings, and he's got, you know, what was the one thing, the sword and the shovel or something like that, you know?
Well, you got to keep digging with the sword in one hand and the shovel in the other.
Right.
Keep digging. And he said it this week, what happens when you're going through hell? You got to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Motivation there, man.
But my worry is, are the players not buying that anymore? Have they heard this so much from Harbaugh that they're just kind of like, yeah, whatever, it's another one of your sayings?
I think that happens in any respect. I mean, Ray Lewis even said that in America's Game. It's sometimes he can lose you, but he hoons in on that fine point. So, and that's any coach. I mean, and I really don't – and again, I hate to say that because you look at the longest tenure coaches. I mean – how long was Joe Paterno the head coach of Penn State? How long has Mike Krzyzewski been the coach of Duke? You know, how long has Tom Izzo been the coach of Michigan State basketball? You know, how long was Gary Williams the coach on the Maryland Terrapins bench? You know, you have to say that I don't think it's more or less that they lose because good coaching systems and good coaching, people want to play for you. So I don't think it's that, because I know from hearing from players, I they highly respect him. I don't think it's that. I mean, you see what Harbaugh does with players who kind of mesh. They kind of get the axe and get out of here. I don't know. It's really hard for me to pinpoint because, again, you know, being that I'm not inside the organization, outside the locker room, I can't get that pulse. So I really, really don't know if he's losing the locker room or losing the players' attention with the "okay, here we go again" speech. But in all respects, again, we got to find a way to win and win now. I mean, and everybody's been trying to pick apart the schedule. Well, the Bengals and Steelers, they have the tougher schedule of us, and if we can just muster up a couple wins, I'm like, look, unless they go 10-3 the rest of the year and they're at 10-6, so. They haven't won a game yet. We're in week four, so it's kind of like, look, just win one game. You can't take a big picture now. It's, hey, win one and then see what happens. You win two, you win three. Yeah, maybe if they muster up a 3-4 game winning streak, and we're sitting here in week 7 and 8, Brandon, recording, like, oh, our Ravens are above 500, 4-3. Who'd have thunk it? And then we can start talking what ifs. But right now, we're playing for a top 15 pick as it looks in the draft right now, and the second year out of the playoffs in since 2008. So. In retrospect, I wanted to bring up something before we move on to bigger and better things here in week four. One thing I wanted to say is they handed out the 20th anniversary magnet, which is great, by the way. But, Brandon, listen to this. The Ravens have been in existence 20 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had 2 Super Bowl titles. We drafted the first 2 draft picks for Hall of Famers. Ray Lewis, the statue's out front. We all know that. Jonathan Ogden was at the game, by the way, on Sunday. It was great to see. I counted the Ravens, the years they've been in the playoffs. This is their 20th year. 19 years, basically, they've been in the playoffs half the time. So you figure 1 out of every 2 years, 50%. So you're telling me if the franchise came in 96, if you'd have told me, okay, rewind the clock back in 96, you told me we're getting a franchise in 20 years from now, we would have had a 50% playoff chance, basically 1 out of every 2 years. We would have had 2 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 Super Bowl championships. And all these and to first 2 draft picks Hall of Famers, would not have believed you, would you?
No, not at all.
No. So if it takes us, look, you're right. In the beginning of the show, we made history. Yeah, we're 0-3. But it took us, just get this, they said this on TV, we are the last team in the NFL to go 0-3. We've been in existence since 96. So that means there was more expansion teams since then. The Texans, the Browns, the Browns resurgence came. If it takes us 20 years to go 0-3, I think I'm more than happy with that right now. I hate to say that, but I'm more than happy with that right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's big picture.
That's perspective for you. I mean, even in the bad years when we were 4-12 in the first year in existence, and we didn't even have a 0-3 season. We've had 3-game losing streaks, both in Super Bowl years respectively,
right.
But we've recovered from that. And again, you know, this is the ties the longest losing streak in Harbaugh and John Flacco's history, but I think the cycle's got to break somewhere, and they can't be playing there. But I want to bring it on a later note. I remember mentioning last week that we were going to have several guests this week. I did get a chance to meet them, man. They came all the way from Ohio, and they drove, and I actually got to meet these guys. It was pretty incredible, man, to actually meet our listeners from afar.
So some people that have found our podcast on iTunes or whatever, they actually came to a game, got in touch with you and me on Twitter, even though I was out of town, and actually got to meet up, and you guys got to talk a little bit before the game?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was Dustin and Justin, and they
Dustin and Justin?
Dustin and Justin.
That's a podcast show right there.
Like, I think so, guys.
Come on. You can't let that just sit there. Come on.
No, you can't. DJ, that's just all over it. but I want to give the shout out to these guys, and you know, we're going to bring them on the show momentarily to, you know, hear what they had to say. But it was really great. They found our tailgate spot. It was great to be down and tailgating with the fans. And
only did you just kind of be like, hey, what's up, guys? You invited them to your own tailgate and told them to, like, come eat some food and party with, like, a Raven?
Oh, yeah, man. They saw our tailgate spot. They were in awe, and they were like, there's nothing like this in Ohio. He goes, you guys do, like, a college environment, like, tailgating. They said they seen some interesting characters. They love my outfit. They saw the helmet. I showed them around, and they said the stadium experience was top-notch, even though the game sucked. They enjoyed the experience. They saw the Ray Lewis statue. They had a ball, man. It was really great to see these guys. So, without further ado, I just want to bring these guys on, and here's what he had to say, and when we're live on location at the tailgate lot.
Well, 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 we got the call-in location in Lot H. This is where it's at, but we got a couple of guests here. Say hi, fellas.
Hey, what's up? What's going on? It's Justin and Dustin from Ohio.
All the way from Ohio, and they're faithful tweeters here, loyal listeners of the show. And how was your guys' trip, man? How long was it?
Yeah, it was about 7 hours. We stopped to eat a couple times, but it was an easy drive, and it was a scenic drive. Nice drive up here in Northeast to see all the trees changing colors, and it's a lot
that's
nicer
right.
than
fall.
The city.
Fall,
yeah, it's
right?
fall.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
nice. It's football time, man. It's yeah. ready to go.
You said you've seen some interesting characters, but obviously you got the red eyes in front of you, right? What
I
do you think?
I've seen them from all the way across the parking lot, man.
I don't even have my helmet on yet. I got to get the helmet on in the car.
Yeah.
But yeah, so far, what do you think? What do you think of the scenery around here? Better than what you've seen in Ohio?
Oh, yeah, it's much better. We've been to Cincinnati a couple times down at Paul Brown, and this is much more welcome here. We're welcome here as a Ravens fan. It's nice walking around, everybody waving at you, saying, go Ravens. And
it's like the home away from home.
Instead of saying, like, oh, get out of here, Bengals fans, like cussing
exactly.
you out and stuff. So it's much better, much better.
Well, wait till you get in there, guys. It's going to be a great scenery inside the stadium. You're going to love it. It's one of the best experiences I've ever seen. And I've been a part of other stadium experiences up in New England and Pittsburgh. They don't like the stadium.
Yeah.
You're going to really love it. What'd you guys think of the statue out front?
Oh, it's iconic, man. Legendary. Man.
And Ravens
awesome.
Walk?
Yeah, Ravens
Walk.
Awesome.
Ravens Walk's awesome, man.
10 out of 10, man. Awesome.
You got the premier tote, and you see, I mean, you just said it's a college experience here.
Oh, it is, man. It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
Opening day, man. Well, you guys, welcome, and can't wait to get into it, man. It's going to be our first home opener here. Can't wait.
Same here, man. Same here. We're ready.
How about you guys do the outro this time?
Do the outro?
Do the outro.
Go ahead, Dust. You take care of it.
You take care of it. Do it.
Signing off here. We're here in opening day. The call. We're signing off. Justin, Dustin, and Josh. Go Ravens.
Dude, fly high.
Fly high, boys. Let's go here. Let's go Ravens.
Let's go. Fly high.
Let's go Ravens. Fly high.
International Podcast Day is September 30th, and you can help spread the word. International Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved? It's pretty simple. First, head over to internationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. Second, use hashtag Podcast Day to join in the conversation. Remember September 30th. Now, let's start the conversation.
All right, man. So that was really cool. So Dustin and Justin and Josh hanging out before the Ravens game at M&T Bank, man. That was pretty cool, dude.
DWJ.
I love the fact that that we get to you got to hang out with some people that listen to our show and drove in. They're definitely Ravens fans with a lot of passion coming all the way from Ohio and chilling at the game. So that was really cool, man. Hopefully we get to do that again.
Yeah, man. I mean, I even told him. I said one of our road trips. They said, obviously, I have a place to stay out there in the Cincinnati area. I think they're an hour out of Cincinnati if I get to go to the game. And they actually said that here's the thing. They were so pumped and to be there in the environment, whatever happens this year. But they said that they, a nice segue in the Steeler Heat Week here, they were thinking about coming for the Steeler Sunday Night Football game later this year to come to Baltimore again.
Oh,
and
man.
They were gracious to invite me. They said, of course, the Bengals play. They play the last game of the year in Cincinnati. I probably wouldn't make that, because I told them I'm going to Miami in the beginning of the month there. So, funds might be a little tight for me personally to get out there for another road trip. But I told them, definitely when Cincinnati's on my list, they said I have a nice place to stay out there, and we'll have fun out there in Cincinnati rooting them on. But they were loving Baltimore, man, and they're definitely going to be back. But with that being said, like I said, segue. It is a short week. We are 0-3, and it kind of sucks because we kind of had some kind of good news on the Steeler front, because it is Steeler Heat Week. We all started, and it kind of sucks because being 0-3 and them 2-1, it really sucks because Steeler Heat Week kind of – it never would lose its luster for me, man.
Right.
But it's just – like I said, I want to set the table for the next episode that – they're down one of their very key players, so it kind of just sucks that we're 0-3, because it's like we can't really trash talk. The only thing I have is, well, we knocked you guys out of playoffs last year, and I was in person to see it, and it was gracious, and that was Paul Moe's last game, which was great. So we really don't have anything right now to really go on, so it just sucks right now, Ravens Nation, with the rivalry, because it really, there's always something to play for. We're playing for our first win of the year, but just to set the stage. It's still a Steeler Heat Week for me, man. So we're gonna break it down on the the Purple Friday preview coming up here, man.
That's right. So we're doing everything all in one this week due to the fact that this is a Thursday night game. It is Ravens Steelers. It still has that, you know, that big game feel, even though we do have a Ravens team that is struggling, and we do have the Steelers who are missing their big guy,
yep.
Big Ben Roethlisberger. They do have their second stringer, Mike Vick. Not going there again. Everybody knows my feeling on him. But here's I found this very interesting. The Baltimore
that
Sun.
That will tell you I'm starting him on my fantasy team this week then. Oops. I am. I got Matt Stafford. It sucks.
I know.
It could be more worse things than that.
All right, so the Baltimore Sun actually put out a really interesting article, and it says, to win, the Ravens need to fix 5 problems. So let's kind of dissect some of these problems here. I'll list the 5, and then we'll go into each one.
I did dissecting in school. Do I really have to dissect some things right now?
Well, not a frog or anything like that, but we'll...
God, that was brutal.
I know.
That stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either.
Dissecting insects and frogs and...
So,
I don't know what I learned, because obviously I forget it all.
I just realized it was gross, and I'm never going to eat frog legs, but other than that. All right, so here are the 5 things the Sun says the Ravens have to do in order to beat the Steelers. Rev up the running game. Find help for Steve Smith. Cut down on the penalties. Fix the secondary. And finish the job.
Now, easier said than done.
Yeah, now, little did I know that all you had to do was say what the problems were, and you get paid to write stuff like this, because you and I just talk for free saying the exact same thing every week.
Yep.
So I agree with the Sun on all 5 of these points. Those are definitely all the 5 things that we need to fix on this team. But they don't really say how to do it. Rev up the running game. Justin Forsett, Taliaferro, and Buck Allen haven't really done anything. But like you can't really blame one guy. You can't just blame it all on Forsett, because Taliaferro and Buck Allen haven't done anything either. So, obviously, like, the offensive line isn't making holes for these guys. They're not being able to make the right decision on which way to go on the field. So, really, they need the offensive line to work a little bit harder on that one, making these holes for these guys to get down. It's not like these guys have you know, lost speed over the last year or so. Find help.
No.
No, go
it's
ahead.
Like,
yeah.
You're right. They haven't lost speed. It's just, well, it's blocking. It's the same thing the Broncos are having. The line forgets how to block. It trickles in running game. And you have to run to set the pass and vice versa. So with the Ravens, it's kind of like it's really crazy, because they're one dimensional on both sides. They can stop the run on, defense, can't stop the pass. The Ravens can't run the ball on offense, but can pass the ball. So it's like both sides of the football. I mean, yeah, if they fix the problems, they could probably win a few games here easily. But I agree with all 5 of those points, because 4 sets the key. Because if they can rev him up. Then, okay, now you got to be honest, because, okay, 4 sets in the backfield, it keeps the linebackers honest, and it keeps everybody freezing, because especially if you do play action, it freezes the defenders for that split second, so maybe it'll create holes for the receivers to get open. But when you can't run the ball, they're like, okay, we're going to pass, and they're going to sit down. So apparently C. Smith's the only problem getting it done out there. So, and the defense has them to cover. I mean, the pass rush, it was there on Sunday. It showed its head. I mean, it was there. Doomerville caused the fumble. Mosley put it back. They had a couple of rushes. They had a couple of good sacks on Dalton. They weren't really getting to him in the first half. They got to him in the second half. Put pressure. I want to see more Tommy blitzes. Stop sitting back 6 or 7 deep and letting them throw it. If it's 3rd and 13 and you give them 15 yards, they're going to get the first down. No. I'd rather be aggressive. And here's another thing. They have another big weapon in Antonio Brown, as the Steelers do, like the Bengals do with A.J. Green. They didn't double or triple A.J. Green the whole game. You look at other teams that have big receivers, like Dez Bryant and all that, these guys are getting double and triple teamed. Calvin Johnson was the same way. Julio Jones is commanding that. When you have commanding receivers, they acquire attention. I would have been more than happy with Marvin Jones streaking down the sideline, catching an 80-yard touchdown pass than A.J. Green. That's just uncalled for. I mean, but then the same thing, the Bengals did it, and Steve Smith tore them up, and they couldn't cover him either. So it's kind of like, you know what Antonio Brown's going to do. You know what Le'Veon Bell's going to do, and he's back for the first time or the second game this year. So you don't want to give them any more reason to beat us. And I'm kind of like, I'm really excited to see, because it's kind of like, yeah, the salvage of the season, we have to win and win now. Tomorrow's a must win regardless, but – what better way to salvage the season than to get their first win of the year against them on primetime Thursday night football in their house, where the last time we were there, we ended up with a playoff win and got the exercise of demons out of there, but we never won a playoff game in Pittsburgh, and that was out the door. and they were division champs. They were one and done. So it was really great to see. And no, I won't be in Pittsburgh this time to see it. I thought about going, but being that I have to work and stuff, I'd rather not.
Right.
But yeah, it's going to be an interesting game because with Mike Vick back there, it's not Ben, but I've even said it don't matter who's back in quarterback, because if he gets the playmakers the ball, with the way our defense is playing right now, they're going to win easily.
Well, luckily
I don't see anything about Mike Vick throwing two touchdowns or three in this matter.
But Mike Vick's got an arm, but that isn't his first go-to thing to do. Mike Vick's instinct is to run. And so I feel as if the Ravens can be a good defensive team if Mike Vick is the starter, which he's going to be, because you can defend against the run pretty easily. Now, the times that he does throw the ball, yeah, you're going to have to watch out for what the secondary can do. But of the first four teams that we have faced this year, I feel as if this is going to be one of the best defensive games that we can play, because the focus will be on running.
Of course it will. I mean, if they can stop Bell, all they got to do is cover Brown. And I think that's the biggest keys to the game right there, because if you eliminate those two X factors, I want the game to rest on Mike Vick's arm and say, hey, beat us. You see what our secondary can do. I dare you to throw 30, 40 yards down the field. But it's kind of speculation, because going off of track records, the way this defense is horrible, and other than Peyton Manning not scoring any touchdowns, but he did throw in between the yard lines. It was between the 20s. He was good. They just gonna punch it in and got field goals. But Derek Carr went up and down this team on the field on this team. Andy Dalton had his day. Who's to say the next in line is Vic? He's like, okay, Andy Dalton had a field day. Let's just have some fun. And I've already heard the Steelers are keeping their game plan simple. Whether we want to read into that or not, I don't know. But with the Steelers sitting at 2-1, they almost lost that game. If we'd have won our game, it would have been a wholly different conversation today, because then the Ravens are one game out of first place instead of three. Then you're talking, okay, if we can win, even if the Bengals lose or win on Sunday, we're a half game or one games out, we're still tied for first place. You just never know. So it's kind of like that's why Sunday's loss is huge, because even though Pittsburgh ended up winning, they could have lost the game. I kept watching that score, I'm like, they ain't scoring, what's going on with there? And then after the game, everybody's like, Big Ben's out for the year, yeah, and I'm like, but we're still on three, and they're 2-1. So it's, yeah, he's out. But see, that's huge, because and this is why everybody's saying, if the Ravens can win in Pittsburgh, then have 11 days off and come home against the Cleveland Browns and win that game, then you're 2-3. The Steelers are without Big Ben for 6 to 8 weeks. And I looked at their schedule. Their schedule is a lot tougher than ours. And the Bengals, you know how they are. They're not going to sustain that winning. They're lucky to be there. They barely beat the Chargers, and they almost lost to us. So I mean, they had to come back and work for that win. So, and that was a war. So, and with the Bengals, I mean, the Steelers play the Rams next week, I think the week after. No, they played the Rams this past week. I think the Steelers, they ended up playing some daunting games. I have to really look at their schedules, but we have the easiest, because we have three home games against Jacksonville. St. Louis has a great defense, but their offense is suspect. And then we have the Chargers coming into town who, yes, they've given us fits, but if you look at it whole, yeah, if we can just win one, starting on Thursday night, who's to say we can't get traction? That's why everybody's getting excited. Well, maybe there's a chance, and there's the whole speculation, Brandon, that the last team who made the playoffs after starting 0-3 was the 98 Bills. Mm-hmm. It can still happen, but they got to win one game. Until we can even see the P word around here, we need to say the W word and say, hey, let's get a win finally, for goodness sakes, before we can start talking. I mean, we can't really talk swagger. I mean, it sucks right now being Ravens Nation, because we're not used to this, but dark days are coming, man. This might be a rebuilding year. We have to retool the draft and find some holes to plug in and revamp for another playoff run. I mean, this team is, again, a couple pieces here and there away and tweak some things here. They have it. You can see it. They're in every football game right now. It's just they need to just find their playmakers and find their footing. And it's going to be dire straits on Thursday. And it's really tough, man, because my game prediction – it's really hard, because the Ravens are actually favored in this by 2.5 points. And if it wasn't for Big Ben being out, I think the Ravens would have been 4-point underdogs, in my opinion. But you almost want to pick them in this game because of sheer, it's a short week. They go in Pittsburgh, I think, with Mike Vick being inserted in there late. The Ravens could muster down and get a good 7-point win or something, but then you don't know. With the way they've been playing, Steelers could easily beat them. Easily beat them, like soundly. So it's kind of like this game can go either way. But I'm actually going to jump. I'm going to really, 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 really put this out on a limb. And I'm actually going to put my neck out and say I think the Ravens are going to get the first win in good fashion, prime time, on a last-second Justin Tucker field goal. And speaking of that, that was a little weird that he missed one on Sunday, wasn't it?
I know, Mr. Reliable. Yeah, Mr. Reliable, you know, missing one every once in a while.
Stop singing about coffees.
Yeah, maybe it's too much Royal Farms chicken or something. I don't know, but
see, Haloti, he leaves and then he's got to have it's just bad.
Yeah, so real quick, I do want to bring this up about the offense. Mm-hmm. Another key that the Baltimore Sun brought up was find help for Smith. Now, Steve Smith got an IV on the sidelines during this last game. I've never seen that done before. Usually, you know, you go to the locker room or something like that. But no, he's on the bench, on the sideline, getting an IV because he's running so much at that age. I mean, come on. I mean, he definitely needs some help out there. He can't be the only one doing it. Now, a guy who I've been very confident about this year, backing up, Steve Smith, as in, like, being a good offensive player, Crockett Gilmore, turns out he will not be playing up against the Steelers. So we're losing Rashad Perryman, who has never played a game or even practiced this year, except for one day and then a little bit last week. But then he re-injured his knee this past Sunday. So I don't even know if he's going to ever play this season, but that's another story. So we don't have Rashad Perryman. Crockett Gilmore is going to be out against the Steelers, and Eugene Monroe still suffering from a concussion. So he's going to be out as well. That's a huge loss for this offense. I mean, if it's not Steve Smith, it's not Crockett Gilmore, who can it be? I mean, you do have Kamar Aiken, Marlon Brown. They've shown that they can't be the most reliable people. Michael Campanaro really hasn't gotten that much playing time on the offense. And then you do have Max Williams. You do have Darren Waller trying to make some plays. But Max Williams, that last big offensive drive this past game, dropped a pass from Flacco, and you got to catch stuff like that. He's a rookie, but really, besides Steve Smith, you've got all these guys that are kind of mediocre with an elite quarterback like Joe Flacco. It's
right. Which leads me to my question. Are you Boyle loyal?
You know what?
I had to say that. I had to interject that. But he did hurdle defender. He brought down his inner Max Williams and hurdled defender.
That was definitely a shining light this past Sunday.
Great. I was like, who's that guy? I didn't know who caught the ball until I had to look at the number because I couldn't tell. So I was like, I don't see Gilmore, and Max, I knew that wasn't Max's 87 number. I'm like, and I was like, oh, that's Nate Boyle. And I saw him hurdle. I'm like, that was impressive athleticism. If we can expect that kind of effort from our, and you're right, because who's going to step up for playmakers? I mean, I even joked, I'm like, maybe we're going to have it like the Eagles did that 1 year and have open tryouts because there's nobody catching the football. It sucks. That's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to which team's going to make plays. Can the Ravens stop the offensive firepower of the passing game, and can the Ravens run the football? And those two keys, if they figure them stinking keys out, they're going to win a football game here for us in the city of Baltimore. So we just want that first win. Can somebody please – I'm almost getting on my knees and begging at this point. This week I even just walked into the office, and I'm just like – I just can't help but laugh anymore. I'm like, I'm not used to it, but, I mean, I didn't get mad about it. It just sucks. I got home, and I just sit on the couch. I'm like, crap. We haven't won since the first week in the preseason. We haven't won a legitimate game since Pittsburgh last year in the playoffs, so it just sucks. I'm like,
What? Last win of last year should be the first win of this year.
That's why I'm going with it. It just all sets up, and maybe it'll spark. I mean, if they can take with the mojo and the motivation they had in the second half of the Bengals game and bring that to every game, I'm like, they just don't look like they're energetic. Like, I'm like, you know, I mean, we talk about hustle. I mean, Harbaugh wears that T-shirt, hustle hard all the time or hustle all the time. But it's like these guys just seem like they're dogging it. You know, I mean, I see high school and college players playing harder. I mean, these guys, it's just like, and then finally it's just like C. Smith was on the scoreboard. Like, let's go and pumping everybody up. I'm like, where is that? You know, it just seems like these guys are just, they're creating stupid penalties and they're just out there trying to collect the paycheck. But, I mean, if things don't improve, something's going to happen. The switch is going to go off and someone's going to get let go. Personnel is going to happen. And we might be excited about it or may not be happy about it. But right now, things are getting the job done, which leads me to say you're right. Last win last year, first win this year, in the same venue, in the same city, under the lights in a primetime game. Ravens an ugly one. I'm saying an ugly one because I don't know if it's going to rain. And that's why I'm speculative about fantasy football in this game, because who knows, this might be a mud bath. But I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I don't know what this rain's going to do. Didn't even rain today in the area, which is weird. But I'm going with the Ravens in a slop fest. 20-17, my friend.
You know, I wanted to, if it is going to be rain like that, I want it to be like the big football game, I think, in like season 3 of Friday Night Lights, where they're playing in like the cow pasture.
That's a good one.
And there's just mud everywhere. Like, that's the kind of game I want to see. But I have to think that the Ravens are going to come away with a win on this one. Without Big Ben, it does take a lot for a quarterback to get used to his team. Yes, Michael Vick practices every day with his team, but he doesn't expect to be the starter. He's older. I don't know how good of a throwing arm he still has, but if he's going to focus on running, I feel as if this defense can play a disciplined game, nothing stupid like Timmy Jernigan and CJ Mosley getting those stupid penalties, giving away yards.
That's
the only word you can say. It's just stupid.
It's stupid football. If they don't do that
right, if they can play a disciplined game and they can, if they could draw penalties from the other team, if they don't get penalized themselves, they can definitely defend against Michael Vick and the Steelers on this offense, because Big Ben's arm isn't there. If on the offensive side, if Joe can count on some of these guys, I think Max Williams is going to be a big part of this team. He's definitely still learning. You can see that. But if you remember Torrey Smith's rookie year, he missed a pass and immediately got back in the huddle, said, "Do it again. Throw it to me." Was able to get that touchdown pass from Joe later on in that game. I think Max Williams can kind of be the same player. You know, he screwed up big time against Cincinnati at the end of the game. I feel as if he's going to work hard. He's going to play hard on Thursday, and I think we're going to. I expect a big game from Max Williams this coming week. I want to see more from Capinero and Waller, but really the other two guys, Aiken and Brown, they need to show up, because I haven't seen anything this season that really showcases how good they are. And you know me, I'm a huge Marlon Brown fan, so I need to see more from them. But
well, Marlon, Brandon's in your corner. Let's go, buddy. Catch some football.
That's right. So I feel as if this Ravens team can win. It will be an ugly game. It will be hard fought. Like every other game this year, it's going to come down to the wire. I don't know if it's going to come down to Tucker. I feel as if it's going to be a close game. I feel as if the Steelers are going to get like a last-minute touchdown, and then Joe is going to tromp down the field with his team. He's going to lead the charge. I want to see Joe take charge of this offense, because we know Joe Cool in the last 2 minutes of a game. He did it with Hushman Zada so many years ago up in Pittsburgh, just tromped down the field the last 2 minutes and able to get a touchdown. That's what I want to see from Joe. I think he can do it. He knows what to expect from those fans, from that stadium. I think Joe's going to be the big savior here. We're going to realize why he is called the Elite Dragon again, because I feel as if we've kind of missed it this year. So I'm expecting Joe and Max to really work well together and do something big within the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting that too. And if they can just nail it down, it's all going to come together. I mean, I'm just excited that it just to see if it can unfold. I mean, I'm just excited as probably anybody. I'm still fired up for the game. I'm still going to be itching to get out of work. Can't wait for this game tomorrow night.
What's your plan for the game? What are you going to do?
I'm probably going to go back down to my original home base. It sucks because I'm pretty much basically going to lug my gear. Because I get off at 7, and luckily I've been blessed the last 4 nights to get off at 7 right away. But if I get to stay till like 7:15, 7:20, even if it's late as 7:30, I'll be making adjustments because the game time's at 8:25. It's usually like 8:30 for Monday night, but it's 5 minutes earlier. So if I make it to 8:30, I'm late. So, my plan is to just head down to 95 and go back to my home base in Bel Air at the restaurant to root on with my fellow Ravens fans. And I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm pretty much just, that's my game plan. What's yours?
Well, I want to check to see if this is still going on, but for the last preseason game, which was a Thursday night game, there's this place by my house called Kaler's Crab House, and this is a free ad for them because hopefully they're still doing this. But supposedly, Monday through Thursday, they have a all-you-can-eat crab special. So you sit down for 2 hours, and I think it's like $25-$30, at least it was back in August. And you sit down for 2 hours, and you watch the game on their big screen. It's not that big of a place. They have one giant TV. So that's my plan, is to go to Kaler's, enjoy some crabs, all-you-can-eat crabs, and watch the Ravens.
Awesome, beat man. The Steelers. That sounds great.
Yeah, that's my plan.
Well, what better tradition, man? I wouldn't say Bo's, O's, and crabs. You can't say that, but we got our Ravens, Bo's, and crabs there. But that sounds like a great time, man. Cracking open some crabs and hoping for a Ravens win on Thursday night. But it's going to be daunting. But it's here. It's Steelers Hate Week. I've thrown some things out there on the web. Trying to get the Steelers hate wagon going, and we can hate them as much as we want, but they got the two wins, and we're looking for our first one. But I think we're going to get it, man. I think we're going to get it.
I hope so. So I feel as if we've already done, like, the keys to the game. Just, you know, no penalties, play disciplined football, and you're saying big game from Tucker. I'm saying a big game from Joe. So
big game from – yeah. I mean, we're going to stake with the offense, saying everybody needs to step up. Every 53 men on the roster need to step up. Coaches need to step up. But pretty much that's the rallying war cry, keys of the game. We just basically blended it all in one for this short week, and everybody's going to get ready for Thursday night fun here.
All right. So did we cover everything?
We covered it to the max, man. 0-3. Let's go.
That's right. If you want to continue to talk Ravens football with Josh or I, we are both available on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Like I said, we are recording this on September 30th. It is International Podcast Day.
So right after International Coffee Day. I love it.
There you go. Perfect. So what if you did a podcast about coffee? Like, this would be like Christmas week for you. I mean, you know.
I said that yesterday. I said that free coffee day is like open bar for me for 24 hours. I had four coffees yesterday. Free.
Oh, you are crazy,
I did a Dunkin',
man.
And then I did three Wawas. I was loving life.
You're just
like
crazy
about 50
dude.
Ounces of coffee yesterday.
You're probably heading to the bathroom like every 2 seconds then.
more like 4 seconds.
Right. Well, it is International Podcast Day, so I hope you guys are enjoying not just our podcast, but all the other podcasts out there in the world. You know me, I love to talk about this. It was just a couple years ago, Josh and I just kind of were like, hey, you know, why don't we do a podcast about the Ravens? We stuck with it. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world. I absolutely love to podcast. If you're thinking about starting up a podcast, just do it. You know what? Don't even – just get a buddy or two around, get a microphone, and then put your voice out into the world. Let other people know what you're going to say. Be your own artist, you know?
It can be a scary thought, putting your voice in the world, just saying.
Absolutely it can, because you got people that can come back and tell you you suck, you're great, whatever. Yep. But you know what? You just do it. If you enjoy it, just do it, you know? A lot of people out there on podcasts are like, oh, I'm not making any money from this yet. That's not what this medium is about. This is about putting your voice out into the world. It's International Podcast Day, and I absolutely love this. This is one of my just absolute favorite things to do. So if you guys want to stay in contact with us, you want to talk about the football and everything, the Ravens football and everything like that, go over to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Like Josh said, he's constantly posting photos or articles or whatever he finds interesting. I do a little bit of that as well. Go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That's whenever we do a new show, video, photos, whatever, you'll be the first to see that. BrandoCash.com's got all your information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Now, like I just said, International Podcast Day, we do this for free. You guys stream, you download, you listen for free. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. All we ask is that you guys share the show with your friends. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call every single week. They do 3 shows a week. You should listen too. So, Josh, let me tell you this, all right? So here's some of our numbers, okay? This is why I really want people to share the show. Hopefully this page will open up for me. So our last show, our game day preview, 1563, okay? 1563, the show before that, 1419, 1715, 1647, 1508, 1739, 1786. Here's the one I want to talk about. 1937. So That almost got downloaded 2,000 times.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. But see how close we are? 1937.
What episode was that?
That was episode 93, Ravens versus Broncos.
So that was opening week.
Opening week. What I want you guys to do, you obviously enjoy listening to our show. I want you to share the show, like I said, on all your social media stuff, because 1937 is awesome. It is the coolest thing. Seeing any of those numbers is great. But we're so close to 2,000 downloads. I would love to see the next episode go past 2,000.
I would love it, too. I think any of our listeners would this. I'm going to put this right now. The day we reach 10,000 downloads, I'm picking one of our lucky listeners out there, whether they're local or whether from afar, and I'm going to treat them to a Ravens tailgate and a Ravens game on me.
Oh, wow. Look at that. That's pretty cool.
So when we reach 10,000, it's not going to be the 10,000th download to get that, because who knows where in the world that
comes from. We'll never know that.
But I'm just saying, if once we reach over 10,000 downloads in 1 week at one time, I am going to look across our Twitter feeds, our Facebook friends here, and who follows the show, and I'm just going to just pick a random one.
That's really cool, man. You got to love that.
There you go.
You got to love that. But right now, I want to hit past 2,000. Like, that's my goal.
Take baby steps.
Yeah, exactly. That's my goal for this season. You know, we just started. We're in week four. We got plenty of time left. I would love to see, by the end of this year, us hitting 2,000 downloads a week. That would just be the coolest thing in the world. So, thank you guys so much for listening to us. International Podcast Day means the world to me that I get to talk to one of my good friends about a team I love, but I love the fact that you guys listen to us and actually care what we have to say, because why would anyone do that? You know?
Exactly.
You know, we're nobodies, but we love the fact that you guys listen to us anyway, and we love talking about the Ravens. I mean, it's just the coolest thing that I get to talk to one of my buddies every single week. I know I'm going to talk to the Ravens with my buddy Josh, who knows the Ravens so well, and we're going to have a great conversation, and you guys get to be a part of it. So that's why I love podcasts. But Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much for a great and awesome show. Steeler Heat Week. We love to hate the Steelers around here, don't we? The fans, the team, it's fun. It's fun to poke fun. I don't care if we're 0-3 and they're 2-1 right now. We're still going to hate them. And they're going to even love us even more when we beat them in their house on Thursday once again. And I really can't wait to get after it. Guys, it sucks, I know. 0-3, don't lose faith, man. And again, like I said in the show before, whoever the faithful stayed at the game, never leave a game early. I don't care how bad it gets. You have to support your team, not only in the best of times, but in the worst of times. Yes, I just kind of quoted wedding vows or whatnot, but this is a marriage, man. We're in it for life. And you got to be riding out the tough times here so we can get to another third championship when the times are going great. And you're going to remember those. You got to remember those. And moments don't come often, but remember those. We've had some great success stories. Not down and out. This team is on the cusp. We've been in every game. We're right there. So that's my pep talk. We're going to keep it short and sweet. We're going to go up and kick the Steelers around and show them, hey, we can actually win a football game this year. And we're going to do it in style. Ravens Nation, let's descend the unkindness on Pittsburgh and let's show them win number one of 2015 season comes in week four at their dispense. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high to our first win in Pittsburgh on Thursday Night Football.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.